There's nothing that quite reveals the condition of a nation or any organization or group of people like its culture, its music, its art, its sculpture, and so forth. I've said so often that the music of a group reveals the condition of the hearts of those in the group. Songs come oftentimes spontaneously from the condition of a nation. The same, however, can be said about this. Just as really, and don't miss a thing I'm going to say tonight, because I want you to be sure when you pick up your telephone tomorrow morning and call your neighbor and gossip to get all the things exactly as they are. And I'm going to give you a peck of stuff to gossip about tonight, too. But not only does music reveal what we are, but more than we realize, it makes us what we are. Music wields a tremendous and a powerful influence in our lives. In the Bible, most people do not realize that when Moses and the Israelites crossed the Red Sea on dry ground, there was music involved, and they sang a song of victory. David, upon hearing of the death of Jonathan and Saul, composed a song. Deborah and Barak, after the great and miraculous defeat of the forces of Sisera, when the stars in their courses fought against the powers of evil, they sang a song. The 45th Psalm is a song at which they used to celebrate a wedding. The Psalms themselves were simply a composition of songs to form the hymn book of the Jews. When God gave Samuel, the baby Samuel, to Hannah, she sang. When Mary heard of the coming of the Christ child, she sang. The Jews, as they would journey toward the temple for the feast days, would sing. The Song of Solomon is a beautiful love song. And the Bible certainly teaches us the importance of music. But you don't have to go to the Bible for the importance of music. Sometimes turn on the radio, especially back in the old days when we used to hear Fibber McGee and Molly and the Shadow Knows. And you remember that, don't you? Yeah. And what was that where the door squeaked? Inner Sanctum, yeah, Inner Sanctum. And Stella Dallas. The memories, dreams of love so true. And now, Stella Dallas. True to life story, Stella Dallas and her daughter Laurie. Will Laurie really come back to Dick? Or will Dick find his way alone through the entire world? Memories, dreams of love so true. And now, Oxidol's own Maul Perkins. Yeah, you poor ignorant young folks, you don't know a thing about this. All you know is about the Batman and the Spaceman and so forth. But you call those old programs? Henry! Henry Ulrich! Coming, Mother! And so forth. Who is it knocked on the door? Said nobody home? A hope. And we're narrowing down our crowd now, I can see. But as I get older, you won't admit it, and you're not laughing as much. But the music of those old programs certainly affected. In fact, they made the program. The same thing is true with television. Take the music out, the background, musical background out, and you would have not near the excitement that you have. Take away the music at a wedding and see what it would be like. Take away I Love You Truly or Because or till the end of time? Sing that? Right, the wedding is at the end of time, isn't it? But take away the Here comes the bride, the wedding march, and so forth. It makes the wedding, of course. Who hasn't cried at graduation day when they played the alma mater? Or a band came by and a parade was being conducted. Who hasn't thrilled as the flag was raised and the Star Spangled Banner has been played? I told you, in fact, in one of my books, about a man in my church in Texas who was the manager of a cafeteria. He took me one day to the cafeteria and he said, "Now I want to show you something, preacher." He had the organist who played during the lunch hour. He had her play something very, very rapidly, something quick, a march, if you please. And the people began getting their food like this. And you would see them. And he said, "I can speed up the line. I can serve twice as many people with a march." Now he said, "Watch." And he had the organist play a waltz. And the same people that were doing like this, now they get the food like this. Tell you what you do. Drive down the highway someday and turn on music. Turn on one of these hot rod stations. And first turn on WAIT, by the way. They have good music, WAIT. And turn on WAIT or some good FM station and listen to good music and see how fast you go. And then turn on one of these rock and roll places and these beatnik places and hippie places. Turn that on and then notice what's flashing in your rearview mirror. You see? Now, music has a tremendous effect upon us. Did you know that, and I know you know this, hypnotism is certainly closely associated with music. Nowadays, the dentists say that good music will alleviate the pain a bit. That's a lie, because I've had the pain and the music at the same time. But they say that good music will help alleviate the pain. Now, you check in America the great soul-winning churches, and you'll find that a certain kind of music and a certain kind of church always goes together. You cannot divorce the atmosphere of a church from its music. In many churches, a good, faithful, gospel preacher stands to preach after the audience has been tranquilized for the choir special. And nothing could wake the people from their slumbering lethargy after the organist or the soloist has sufficiently tranquilized them with a funeral dirge or the vulgar song. Now, you say what you want to say, but you're not going to have an Episcopalian song service and a Pentecostal invitation at the same time. Now, you're not going to do it. Your church will become, sooner or later, what its music dictates it'll become. Now, I think this, and I'm getting a little off the subject, but as long as I'm on music, I'm on the subject. Nothing is deadening our churches any more than their musical programs. Our music departments at our colleges oftentimes are being led by men that know nothing about soul winning, nothing about evangelism, and nothing about reaching the hearts of people. And so we're appealing to the heads of people instead of the hearts of people. That's one reason why a lot of you don't know. That's one reason why you've already enjoyed this service, is because we sang songs, the gospel songs, and we do that Sunday morning too, by the way. We sing the gospel songs and the songs of joy with a lilt and a delight and a thrill. Now, I'm not talking about rock and roll beat. I'm going to get down to a few things about that after a while. I'm not for this jungle beat. I don't care whether it's in the rock and roll joint or I'm not for the jungle beat, whether it's across the street in the, forgotten the name of the place now, Village Boutique, or whether it's over here in the First Baptist Church of Hammond. But I do say this. I say that a long-haired musician, and I'm not against long-haired music, I love the classics, for example. You'll find it out in a few minutes. I love the classics, but there'll never be a classic played on that organ during a service as long as I'm pastor of this church. Why? Because I don't like the classics? No. But church is not the place for the classics. The Bible said here, spiritual songs. You see.
Now, I love the classics. I love the classics more than a lot of you folks that are criticizing me right now. And I hear the classics more than a lot of you people whose noses are 2 feet in the air right now. By the way, something will fly in if you don't watch out. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that if our churches want to get back the power of God and change lives and revival atmosphere and mourners' bitches and folks getting born again, they'll have to get their music get back. I'm talking about Billy Sunday, Homer Road Heaver, Dwight Moody, R.A. Torrey kind of music. I'm talking about at Calvary, at the cross, dwelling in beautiful land, how firm a foundation, what a friend we have in Jesus, wonderful words of life. I'm talking about all hail the power of Jesus' name. I'm talking about Jesus is coming again. I'm talking about the solid songs that have built the church and have built revival and great revival that have built on ever since there's been a New Testament church. That kind of a song. Now, if music is so life-changing and so atmosphere-determining, the communists are certainly not going to bypass it in their efforts to take over America. The communists are master propagandists. And something that affects a nation so much will certainly not be bypassed by people who are as brilliant as are our communist adversaries. In 1920, and do not miss this, Lenin spoke at the third All-Russian Congress of Young Communist Russian Congress of Young Communist League. Here's what he said. Lenin said, if we are going to spread our doctrine, we're going to have to, and I quote, rework the culture. Rework the culture. In 1929, the Russians founded an association of proletarian musicians just for one purpose and one purpose only, and that was to place a communist influence on the music of the world. That means, ladies and gentlemen, for 40 years, there has been a department in Russia, just like our Department of Interior, Department of Commerce, Department of Agriculture, there has been a department in Russia dedicated to spreading communist-type music around the world. Sidney Finkelstein, called by the House Un-American Activities Committee, and let me go on record as saying, that committee, as far as I'm concerned, were the greatest things that ever happened to America. We had a dozen of them tonight. But Sidney Finkelstein was called by the House Un-American Activities Committee as the cultural spokesman of the communist conspiracy. He said, quote, break down the barrier in America between classical and popular music. It is no surprise tonight that barrier is being broken down. Television programs and radio programs by the dozens, and people who have always been for good, solid music, now have had on their programs such guests as the Beatles and the Falling Stones, and even call that good music. Now, I can't sing, brother. I don't know a thing about music. But I tell you what, I know that's not music. I know that's not. That's just throwing your voice out. I've listened back in Arkansas. We had folks could call hogs prettier than that. Some of you folks used to criticize we hillbillies that yodel and so forth. Criticize them. Well, boy, that's classic compared to the Beatles. I was in a certain home out in Munster not long ago. It's been quite a while ago now. And by the way, it's back when we were buying a house for you. And went into a certain house. It was for sale. And real estate folks took us in. And so they had three boys, two or three boys in the home. And in the boys' room, they had a picture of the Beatles. And I said, and didn't crack a smile, I said, isn't that nice? The lady was there and the boys. I said, isn't that nice? I mean, but all the girlfriends of the boys got together and had a picture made for the boys. I said, you have lovely girls, fellas. It was the Beatles. And they choked and tried to say something, but I didn't grin. And I guess they still think I was a girlfriend. But it was the Beatles. Now, the honest truth is, the the trend toward the breaking down of the barriers between cultural music and good music, and I hate to say good music because that's a relative term, but the classics, I'll say that, the classics and the popular music is a part of a communist conspiracy that I'll show you about in just a minute. Sidney Finkelstein called for a replacement of classics with the jungle beat. Now, Sidney Finkelstein was called with the House Un-American Activities Committee as I said a while ago, and I quote, the cultural spokesman of the communist conspiracy. And he said, let's replace the classics with the jungle beat. You say foolishness, preacher. It's ridiculous to say that why with music, the communists could help take over the country. Oh, you think I'm dumb. Okay, now I quote Plato. Plato, who was not a dumb fellow, Plato said in his great writing, Republic, and I quote, the introduction of a new kind of music should be shunned as imperiling the whole state. That's what Plato said many, many, many generations ago. I quote it again. The introduction of a new kind of music should be shunned as imperiling the whole state. Again, he said, and he said this, he begged the legislature to ban all music of an effeminate and licentious character, for he said it'll destroy our nation. Henry David Thoreau, 100 years before the Beatles ever came, made this statement, and I quote, in his writing to Walden, made this statement, music may be intoxicating. I mean, like liquor. Music may be intoxicating. It has helped cause the destruction of the Greek and Roman empires and will sooner or later destroy America and England. Now, that was said to the great Henry David Thoreau over 100 years before the Beatles ever came on the scene. Now, these are no nitwits. These are no excited reactionaries. These are men who knew what music would do to a republic. The ancient legislators felt that they could not reform a state without the help of a lyric and maybe even a dramatic poet. Scientists have taken dogs and experimented with dogs and have found that certain music played while dogs are eating will cause them to lose their appetite or increase their salivary gland function and cause the dogs to eat more. Now, I know that's true because I hear the Beatles and lose my appetite. By the way, the dogs, not the Beatles, other dogs. You didn't get that, did you? Not the Beatles, but other kind of dogs. You still didn't get it. You didn't want it. But anyway, now, what am I saying? I'm saying that scientists have found beyond any shadow of a doubt that music causes some to have out. And by the way, just as music will stir the appetite for food, music will also stir other appetites as well as the appetite for food. And there is a direct correlation and a direct contact between immorality, indecency, dope addiction, LSD, filthy bodies, long hair, shaggy beards, dirty feet, sandals on your feet. There is a definite correlation between music and that kind of beastly living. You put a jungle beat, you'll have jungle people. You'll do it. Now, the two things I want to call your attention tonight that music is doing in America. In the first place, music is used by the communists to bring communism to America. The Beatles' new hit, quote, back in the USSR. How many have heard that? Be honest. You heard back in the USSR? You see, most of you don't know what's going on. All you know is that your teenager has a radio next to his ear all the time and you can't communicate with him, and one reason you can't is because he's listening to stuff that ought to be sent back to the heathen in the jungle and then buried there. May I read for you the words or some words from the Beatles' latest hit published by Capitol Records, and I quote, it is the fastest selling record in recording history. The title, Back in the USSR. Now, I don't mean it's being sold in Russia. I mean your kids are using it. You don't know about it. They're hearing it. Here are the words. Been away so long, I hardly knew the place. Gee, it's good to be back home. Leave it till tomorrow to unpack my case. Honey, disconnect the phone. I'm back in the USSR. You don't know how lucky you are, boy. Back in the U.S., back in the U.S., back in the USSR. Well, the Ukraine girls will knock me out. They leave the West behind, and Moscow girls make me sing and shout that Georgia's always on my mind. I'm back in the USSR. You don't know how lucky you are, boys, back in the USSR. Show me around your snow peak mountains way down south. Take me to your daddy's farm. Let me hear your, and I can't pronounce this word, ring out. Come and keep your comrade warm. I'm back in the USSR. Boy, you don't know how lucky you are, boys, back in the USSR. Now, that's the Beatles' latest hit, and that's being sold by record sales to your boys and girls and my boys and girls and young people. If you buy it or listen to it, not only are you unpatriotic, you're not right with God. A lot of you parents don't have any idea what your children are doing. Not any idea in the world what they listen to. I'm simply saying that we spend $70 million a year in America fighting the communism and the atheism that Russia is trying to cram down our throats. And yet in America, record-selling, the outstanding record as far as sales is concerned, is not back home again in Indiana, or back in Virginia where I was born, or the Isles of Texas. But it's back home in the USSR, and if we had a Supreme Court that had an ounce of integrity and decency, they'd ban that kind of rot in our country. The honest, simple truth is we are being choked to death by our so-called freedoms. Nobody has a right to be free enough to steal our freedom. We've got the idea of peaceful coexistence with Soviet Russia. Now I'll tell you, my brother, she is as dedicated as she ever was to destroying what you and I call American freedom. Paul Cantor of the Jefferson Airplane, by the way, that's the title of a singing group. The Jefferson Airplane. I hope they crash. He said on the Les Train show, and by the way, the only people more guilty than he is, you folks that watch such shows as that. A lot of you just thrive on turning your television on and watching some of these heathen, infidel, communist, atheistic traitors to American freedom, and if you'd turn it off, they wouldn't be enough folks to listen to it, and they'd get that right off the television. Well, that narrowed it down, didn't it? I aim to narrow it down a little more before I get through. Paul Cantor of the Jefferson Airplane said on the Les Crane show, and I quote, "The new rock music is intended to broaden the generation gap, alienate parents from their children, and prepare young people for revolution." Now, used to, that was given in little magazines that were sold between the covers of some other magazines or underneath the counter, but now they get on the television programs, on the networks, and look us square in the eyeball, and with a Supreme Court sanction, they say, we are trying to alienate children from parents and cause revolution in America. I've got more respect for Castro. At least he's got enough courage not to let revolutionaries rise up against him. I don't like Castro, and somebody called me before midnight saying, "Oh, you like Castro?" I'd like to pluck his beard one whisker at a time. But he's got more sense than our government has. You let somebody rise up against what he thinks is right and against his government, then he'll stop them. We give them free television time. And they look at our nation, and we look at them, and they say, we are going to alienate you parents from you children. We're going to start revolution with the young people. Our purpose is to broaden the generation gap. That's what we're here for. And we pay them to do it. How long will we be so foolish? Bobby Dylan, that's what you pronounce that? Dylan? Called by communists, People's World Publication, as America's greatest poet. Oh, boy. Look magazine said he is unchallenged as a teen and college crowd's absolute hipster. Here's one of his recordings. Come, mothers and fathers throughout the land, don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand, for the times are changing. The line is drawn, the curse is cast. The slow one now will later be fast. As the present now will later be past, the order is rapidly fading. The first one now will later be last, for the times are a-changing. If I find one of my kids listening to this guy's records or on radio, I will tear that radio apart right after I perform the funeral for the kid. Now, brother, you call me what you want to call me, but we're not going to have in our house communists and people who are dedicated to treason singing in my living room or our family room. And you ought not to either. Now, I'll be honest with you. I'd like to bake a cake and send it to this fellow. And I hope he enjoys it and shares it with a fellow in the next cell. Well, that's where he ought to be. In prison. The music of our nation is dedicated to revolution. How do you spell O-C-H-S? Phil? How do you pronounce it, rather? O-C-H-S? Don't be timid. You probably... Oach? Oaks? What's his name? Phil Oaks? You're scared to tell me, aren't you? Well, whatever the guy's name is, he's one of the heroes and darlings of... And by the way, these songs are played on radio stations in Hammond and in Chicago. And their records are selling by the millions. Phil, he has one on I Ain't Marching Anymore. That's against the Vietnam War. Hey, like this one for a song, The Draft Dodger Rag. Yeah, and our boys and girls are listening to it too. And this traitor, this Judas Iscariot, this very carnal, is publicizing it. Now read to this, what this singer said. He said, quote, the Viet Cong are right. We should support Ho Chi Minh. He has created such popular horrors as White Boots Marching in Yellow Land. This is the singer now. We're fighting in a war we lost before the war began. We're the White Boots Marching in Yellow Land and cops, soldiers of the world. And here are some of the words. We've rammed in your harbor, tied to your port, and our pistols are hungry and our tempers are short. So bring your daughters around to the fort, because we're the cops of the world. That's some of the nice songs that singing. And also, the war is over. Has these words, serve your country in her suicide. Find a flag so you can wave goodbye. But just before the end, even treason might be worth a try. Popular song. On the top 40. Being played in your living room, some of you. I'll tell you what. I think everybody here that has a teenager that might... Well, I think everybody has a teenager. I think you ought to take all earplugs and throw them in the garbage can. You hear what they're hearing too, or else buy you an earplug, one for your ear, one for theirs. There are a lot of Christian kids, so-called, unquote, who are going around with earplugs and listening to filth and rot, and it's just as sorry as reading a Playboy magazine late at night when mom and dad don't know about it. The Loving Spoonful, that's another group, by the way, The Loving Spoonful, they've published an album recently entitled Revolution 69. Revolution 69. But there's something else that the music is dedicated to doing besides turning our country communistic. And by the way, it is. The second thing is this. Music is definitely promoting the sale and use of drugs in America. In the authentic biography of the Beatles, it tells us that they started using drugs at the beginning of their career. This is no secret. That means that every time you hear the Beatles, you're listening to some dope addicts. We used to call them dope fiends where I came from. You listen to dope fiends. Every time you buy a record, you're paying for the a code phrase for some narcotic. Gordon McClendon happens to be a Texan. He owns 13 radio stations across the country. He decided to take all music off his radio station that had anything to do with drugs. He was attacked and blasted even by the Newsweek magazine because he took off his radio station any song that had to do with the use of drugs. Many of the leading songs have been written, admittedly, under the influence of drugs. There are some code words I mentioned. Listen to this one. A Jefferson Airplane, they have a recording called The White Rabbit. Here it is. The White Rabbit. Aren't these wonderful songs? White Rabbit, Draft Dodger Rag. Doesn't that sound like Amazing Grace, doesn't it? There's a fountain filled with blood and rolling across, doesn't it? Look, if I were a heathen, and I'm not, if I were a Christian, I think my cultural taste would be above such trash and rot as that. I mean, if I didn't believe in God, I just think I'd for example, I walk down the street sometime and see these I see some tendencies that they may be people, I'm not sure, but who walk by the street. And if you're here tonight, I'm not trying to be unkind. You just don't look like human beings. And if I'd been in Africa and seen you swinging through a tree, I'd been less surprised. But they come by. Now I don't. But dirt between my toes, even if I weren't a Christian, just wouldn't feel real good to me. I mean, I'm so old-fashioned. I like to clean between my toes. I'm so old-fashioned that I like to take a bath every once in a while. Every Saturday. And not only does this music with a jungle beat, not only affect my Christian principles, but it affects, forgive me, I'm not known as being real cultured, but it affects my culture too. I like to talk about that. I'm cultured. It affects my taste. Here's the White Rabbit. Jefferson Airplane sang it. One pill makes you larger and one pill makes you smaller. The ones that Mother gives you don't do anything at all. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall. And if you go chasing rabbits and you know you're going to fall, tell them a hook of smoking caterpillar has given you the call. Feed your head. Feed your head. Isn't that pretty? Why don't you say that for choir special next time? Now, can't you see in that one pill makes you bigger, one makes you smaller? And the ones that Mother gives you don't do anything at all. Don't you see how the home is being attacked in almost all of these songs? I use the word songs loosely also. Go ask Alice when she's 10 feet tall. Wonder what that means. And if you go chasing rabbits, you know you're going to fall. Wonder what that means. Tell them a hook of smoking caterpillar is giving you the call. That's a great line. Shakespeare would have been proud of that. By the way, whatever happened to Shakespeare? Huh? Whatever happened to Shakespeare? I'll tell you one thing. You laugh all you want to laugh, but we could use a little Shakespeare. We're rearing a generation of revolutionaries, and the music has an awful lot to do with it. The Beatles hit, she's leaving home. Now listen to this. The Beatles hit, she's leaving home. She's having fun. Fun is the thing that money can't buy. Something inside that always denied for so many years. Bye-bye, she's leaving home. Bye-bye. I wonder how many girls have heard that on some heathen radio station with some wicked, vile, vulgar-minded disc jockey and have left home to go to New York City, to Greenwich Village, or as one mother called me the other day, and she was crying, and she said, Brother Hiles, my daughter has been to your Sunday school, and she goes to your church, and she's left home, and she's gone over here to this place, Village Boutique, and she's over there.
She said, what can I do about it? What can I do? I wonder how many young girls have listened to this kind of rock and communist-inspired film and left home and left mother and left decency. Yet if the Beatles hit, I almost wept as I read about that music festival on the eastern coast of our country. 500,000 young people went. They said it was characterized by narcotics and nudity. Narcotics and nudity. And the merchants of the town said they're fine young people. You know why? Because nowadays we define fine young people. If we see somebody that doesn't loot the store and burn the building, we say he's fine. We're afraid to call him anything else, afraid he will loot the store and burn the building. Fine young people. And they went and lived in a cesspool of iniquity, vulgarity, lasciviousness, adultery, and fornication, everything that's indecent and dope. And they live there, and they get by with it. Over 500,000. Estimates, with the lowest estimate was 300,000. Cheetah, one of the big magazines aimed at teenagers, quotes, by the way, that's a pretty good title for a teenage magazine these days, quotes, a New York musician is noting, and I quote, if the establishment knew what today's popular music really is saying, not what the words are saying, but what the music itself is saying, then they wouldn't just turn thumbs down on it. They'd ban it, they'd smash all the records, and arrest anyone who tried to play it. That was said by one of the leading New York City musicians. Anybody that knows anything about music knows this, that the music itself carries as good, as plain a message as the words do. Another, Frank Zappa, leader of a rock group called Mothers of Invention, said, I quote, the loud sounds and bright lights of today are tremendous indoctrination tools. Is it possible to modify the human chemical structure with the right combination of frequencies? If the right kind of beat makes you tap your foot, what kind of beat makes you curl your fist and strike? Zappa, whose group has recorded some Lollapaloozas, it says, in the fields of sex, drugs, and revolution, knows what he's talking about. Despite his mangy beard, long hair, and hippie costume, Frank has a master's degree in music. Fifty years ago, Lenin stood before a communist youth league and said, we'll have to change the culture of a nation if it goes communistic. 9 years later, 40 years ago, a department was formed by the communist government in Russia to infiltrate America with what we have tonight facing us. Now, we've taken such things, the Supreme Court, and heathens like Madeleine Murray and others have taken cases to the Supreme Court. They've taken the Bible from our school system. They've taken prayer from our public schools. And yet, under the guise of freedom, they've allowed beasts and animals to speak on our college campus. Sometimes I turn my television on the news and see some fella barefooted with blue jeans on speaking at an assembly at a state university. Now, I know how old-fashioned I am. I think a fella's going to go to school, he ought to cut his hair. Now, you save Ohio. How do you do it? He's free. Well, I'll tell you how you did it. Back when I went in the Army, I had long hair. And no smart cracks either. I had long hair. It was bushy. I mean, boy, it was way high and was real wavy and all that kind of stuff. And so I went in the Army and I sat down in the barber chair and said, how do you want it fixed? Cut. I said, oh, just trim the side. And so I went off to sleep while he was trimming the side. But you know, he thought my head had all sides to it. I woke up and looked in the mirror. I couldn't believe what I saw. I looked like a hippie tonight compared to how I looked that day. Now, that's how they did it there. Now, I mean, what? If they had let me get by with it, the government, I could cut their hair for them. I'd be our deacons around all of them in heaven. I'd just love to do it and shave them too. And if you couldn't get all their beard, just cut their head off right here, and that way the beard wouldn't grow anymore. You say, you sound like you're a bigot. I'm fed up. Absolutely fed up. I'm fed up with a nation that allows people to point a gun in our face and say, I'm about to kill you, and you say, you're free to do it. I'm fed up with it. You say, a preacher shouldn't get mad. Well, I just did. We had more mad preachers. We have a lot better church members, too. They'll know I'm mad. And it's the place where a fella gets mad, everybody laughs. Well, it's peculiar. And yet these dirty, mangy, flea-bitten hounds can get on our television stations and speak in the name of peace and call us everything they want to call us and make light of the Bible and deny God and talk about free love all they want to, and we say, freedom! I wish they'd put some, I thank God they did one time. I wish they'd put more television cameras on places like Bob Jones University, where girls have to wear their dresses down to their knees. Some of you ladies could well do that too. You say, you're getting off the subject. I've got a lot of the subjects I'm trying to get off on before you leave tonight. You just think it's about time. Now, the honest, simple truth is, there are a lot of decent people left in America. By the way, I was watching a ball game a little while yesterday between appointments. I was watching a ball game, just a little bit of it, and a bunch of hippies or revolutionaries got out on the field. And WGN wouldn't put their television cameras on those fellas. They just stuck it on the scoreboard and left it there. And I said, if every television camera in America would do that, a lot of these fellas, they wouldn't cause so much trouble. Remember that golf tournament they had, this world golf tournament in Akron, Ohio? You said, preacher, where are you going? I have no more idea where I'm going now than Adam. All I know is that you'll know where we've been. We get there. And they knew when the television cameras be focused on the greens, and they came up and caused trouble in the golf tournament and so forth. Look, put them in the penitentiary. I can drive 31 miles an hour down Columbia and get stopped. These fellas can stop a television program and if you say anything about it, you're a racist. I don't care. I don't care if it's your brother. You're a racist. Listen, nowadays, you could take an Irishman and shave him, and they'd say you hate colored folks. I don't know why. You're racist or bigot. No? Tell you what I am. I'm an American citizen that thinks when a person uses the American flag to wash his car with, you ought to put in the penitentiary. That's what I am. I'm an American that thinks that Cassius Clay ought to stay in jail so long they'll make him a trustee or on the board. I'm an American that thinks that if a man says he's going to break our laws, burn our buildings, destroy our society, we ought to put him in prison before he does it. I'm an American that says when a man kills 7 nurses over here and does it in blood, cold-blooded murder, it shouldn't take a quarter of a century to get him in prison. Get him pay for his crime. I'm an American who still believes in capital punishment. Because the Bible teaches it. I've told my folks this. Some of you visitors haven't heard it. I'd like to relay it to you. We had a preacher in East Texas, and I was down there in college. He had 6 children. He was before God saved him, he was as mean as he could be. He cursed like a sailor. I don't know how. I was not in the Navy. I was in the service myself. But I don't know how sailors curse, but if they curse any worse than paratroopers, it's a lot. He cursed like a sailor. He got saved. God called him a priest. Went off to college. Was called a pastor of a country church. One day he was preaching on the devil. Talking about the cross. He said the devil had Jesus on the cross. He said, you know what that rascal did? He said he put those nails in his hands and feet. And the devil pulled those crown of thorns down on his head. And the devil caused him to get the cat of nine tails and beat him in the back. And the devil caused him to come by and pluck his beard and slap him and make fun. He said, you know what I think of the devil? And boy, he told him. He cursed the blue streak. He used every kind of vile, filthy language you can imagine and told him what he thought of the devil. Now, I don't think he ought to curse, but since he did, I think he was aiming in the right direction. He closed his Bible and walked out the back door. Got in his car and drove off, realizing what an awful thing he had done. The chairman of the board of deacons got up and said, folks, I think we ought to realize that our pastor was a wicked man before he got saved. He cursed an awful lot. But I think we ought to raise his pay and ask him to come back. If I knew Ed Rouse to do that tonight. The devil never has had it. Now, I don't know any cuss words, but I'd get Brother Terry to help me in good lambasting. Now, I can't close down radio station. I think they ought to be closed down. I think any radio station that plays any program or any record that's dedicated to the destruction of our way of life or revolutionary music, I think the station ought to close down. Funny thing to me. It's a funny thing to me. You can have two less colored folks in a schoolroom and the government won't pay you and won't send you your government support. I said this morning in my sermon, I happen to be Scotch and Irish and French and Indian, and we're not being treated right. I think they ought to bus Scotch, Irish, French, and Indian kids so they have four of them in every school in the county. You don't like that, do you? Well, you can lump it any way you want to then. But I'll tell you what. If we had a generation of preachers that get up and speak out on some of these things, a lot of our deacons' kids would quit playing this rotten filth on our radios. And you young people, I'll bind you one... Listen to me! I'll bind you one thing. Oh, I was down in... I just happened to think I saw a kid over there too much hair, and I was down in... went on a lake preaching, and three folks were there, and I was preaching, and on the second row from the front, there was a family, and I, as you know, I often say... use people like with a terrier, with a streeter, with a hand, somebody in my preaching, and about on the platform, but one fellow, and I saw a family, and I said, "Say, your son." I pointed, and there was a son or a daughter. And so I said, "I mean your daughter." "Oh, no, I mean your son." And I was stuck up on the pulpit in front of all those people, and I wasn't trying to be unkind. I was trying to tell if it's a he or a she or an it. I had no idea in the world what it was. And so finally I gave up, and I was so humiliated. And that was on Monday night. I preached five nights. On Friday night, that family came up, and the little, whatever it was with them. And it said to me, "How you like me now?" And it had got his hair cut and was a boy, and he was so proud of himself. And I put my arm around him and said, "You look like a boy now. And I'm proud of you because you look like a he-man." And the mother and father were so happy about it. You know, if some preachers had enough courage, it might, a lot of you parents would be happier. But if you would apply the proper impression at the proper place, you know, God gave your kids a certain spot where no bones can get broken, and it was made for your application. And you ought to use it. But you said retard their growth. Amen. But I have in mind. I wish somebody retarded some growth of some folks over here. I'll bind you one thing. My mama got that switch off that peach tree in our backyard. It retarded my growth.
We used to wear short breeches where I came from. And Mama would go out to the peach tree, and I'll tell you what, boy, a cloud was coming up. Tornado was on the way. It was dark at noonday. And they need retarding. Now, the honest, simple truth is, unless we get back to some decency, now what can we do about it? What can we do? In the first place, teenagers, break or destroy every record, picture, and magazine you have that has anything to do with these revolutionary singing groups. Now don't give them away. Burn them! Break them! Destroy them! Put them in the garbage can! Get rid of the magazine! I came with just an inch tonight of having a bonfire for the service. Just that close. Just that close. I came within an inch of sending all the kids here home to get their junk and bring it back, have a bonfire service, and have a newspaper out, take a picture of it, and tell them what we're doing. Well, that beat is jungle heathen beat. I don't care whether you put gospel words to it or communist words to it. I told you about how I was over in Rockville, Illinois, about to preach at the Sunday School Convention, and a group got up to sing, and the girls had skirts that high above their knees, and the boys had long, shaggy hair. By the way, there also is a definite correlation between long, shaggy hair and homosexuality. Now, I didn't say if you had long hair, you're homosexual. I just said that there's a correlation between a society where the men dress like women, and wear makeup like women, and wear jewelry like women. It may be they're like women. That's why we have the kids here, finest young folks in the world. You know one reason? Our face stand still and shut up! That's why. And by the way, they sit still or shut up. The other morning, did an invitation. Three or four boys were cutting up back there, doing an invitation. Three of the finest families we've got. And I full well knew when I went back that I was talking to three boys from the finest families we have. And I said, you boys either hush or go home. And I happen to know that every family represented one of those boys. Thank God that I did it. Now, we're not going to rear a bunch of beatniks here at First Baptist Church. As long as I'm here, you can get you another pastor if you want to. But we're going to teach young people how to dress and how to behave, how to say yes, sir, and no, sir, and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and how to wear ties, and how to wear coats, and how to be decent, and how to speak properly, and how to behave, and how to be honest, and how to have integrity, and how to bathe, how to comb your hair, how to brush your teeth, and how to sing. What music to play. Now, the first thing you do, young people, break or destroy every record, picture, or magazine. Number two, parents, don't allow such trash to be played in your home. I mean, if they're watching some of these shows, and I'll tell you what, you'd better be careful about Johnny Carson, what's the other guy on the afternoon? Merv Griffith and that other fellow that's on, that he's nicer than the other guys, but his show's not. Douglas, you better watch these places, brother. Listen. They are having revolutionaries on their program. You say, preacher, what do you watch on television? Oh, a lot of programs. Felix the Cat. Bozo. Ding Dong School. I quit watching Bozo. I found out he's a communist. You know, I got some news for you. Did you know that Grandpa made it okay without TV? In fact, he wouldn't have believed it if he saw one. Grandpa would still be trying to find all those folks in that little bit of box. You know that. He was back there saying, you know it! He got along. Did you know that this world's pretty old and folks got along, got by pretty well back yonder when we had some earphones?
Well, I can see my sister now. Says, let me have them. I see you had them last night. Only one at a time. Why, listen, back when Joe Louis was champion, my dad and I used to listen to Joe Louis fight Max Baer. And dad listened to one around, and I listened to the other. No, we couldn't listen to all, couldn't both listen to that earphone. But you know, we got along pretty well. Don't allow them in your home. Number three, don't allow it on your radio or television. Number four, don't allow gospel words sung to a jungle beat. Number five, and this is most important of all, you get your children in a church like this. You get them in a church like this. Now, the message tonight is a bit crude. I know that. And I've got some sermons that are a lot more homiletical than this. In fact, I haven't got any less homiletical than this. But I'll tell you what. There'll be more young people have their lives helped tonight than if I'd preached some of those homiletical sermons. You get your children an old-fashioned, soul-winning, Bible-preaching, gospel-preaching church where black is black and white is white and right is right and wrong is wrong. And rear a minute. Number six, in the place, not only to take away the bad music, but get good music in your home. Turn on good music. My family was all gone not long ago, and at night I got sort of scared. And half of them are Texas, and half, other half Bill Rice Ranch, and boy, that house is a big place by yourself at night. And so I got the radio and turned it on some kind of program that played real good music all night. And I just wake up and listen to music while I go back to sleep. Wake up again, listen to music while I go back to sleep. I found myself wanting to sleep, wanting to wake up both, because I wanted to hear the music. And do you know what? I slept better. I was refreshed the next morning. Good music does something for you. Play good music on your radio. Now, I'm not saying what kind of music. I'm just saying you be sure that the music you play is not the jungle beat that is dedicated to the destruction of the morals of your children and the freedom that your children enjoy. Now, if you are Christian, you ought to get in the church where they hear this kind of preaching. You say, oh, boy, I'm afraid they couldn't take it. You'd be surprised. You'd be surprised. I'll put these kids over tonight. Now, they're not all they ought to be, and they're not all they're going to be if I stay around. I'll do what I'll do. I'll put them tonight up against anybody's children anywhere. I mean, for being dignified, for having decency, for knowing how to dress, for knowing how to behave at social functions. I'll put them against anybody's children. The old-time gospel of Jesus Christ has more refinement and culture than any kind of synthetic refinement and culture in this world has. Your need, dear friends, is an old-fashioned gospel-preaching, hellfire and brimstone church. And if you're not saved, your need is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've said this many times. The gospel of Christ will settle more out. Will cure more alcoholics than Alcoholics Anonymous. It'll help welfare more than all the welfare programs. It'll stop poverty more than all the poverty programs. It'll bring more homes together than all the home counselors and psychologists and psychiatrists. The need for America is just the old-fashioned gospel of being born again. And if tonight, if you're not born again, your need is to come to Christ and trust Him as your Savior and get born again. And if you are...